Well, good morning, everyone. It's certainly my pleasure to be with you this morning to provide the words of exhortation as we think on our Lord Jesus and his life and death and resurrection and what these things mean for us. As Brother Mike said, my focus this morning is on endurance and enduring to the end. And I'd like to put a verse to you to open my words. The Apostle Paul writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I recently chose this verse to put on a card that Sarah and I wrote for a newly baptized sister. Now you might be wondering, why did I pick that one? It doesn't sound like a verse necessarily for somebody who is newly baptized. They're not really what we would consider the endurance phase of discipleship yet. They're young, they're fresh. They're just at the beginning of their journey. And all things are new and exciting for them. And they're not really at the point yet where they need to summon the will to trudge on. And I agree in some ways. But in my own recent experience, I've learned that successful endurance starts at the beginning. Not merely at the point where we may be feeling bored or tired or just plain worn out. Knowing and remembering from the outset that we are committing ourselves for the long haul, no matter how long that haul may be, is very helpful so that we are prepared for the tough times, such as a prolonged global pandemic. Now, as to my recent experience that informed my choice of this section of scripture, there are really two experiences that I've had and continue to have, that require a great deal of endurance. So the first one is managing my stress at working at the hospital, which has been ever increasing with COVID-19, especially now that the fall is coming in. And the second one is maintaining my increasing commitment to road cycling. So the first one is working at the hospital. This tested my endurance, again, with the COVID-19 pandemic, because being on the front lines, as it were, there's always the increase in ever-present risk that's on our minds of contracting the virus. You know, we're consistently being updated and re-educated about it as our knowledge increases. And the hospital system is strained with the extra staffing required and the extra time and resources it takes to take the appropriate safety measures and protective measures, along with just the generally increased workload, again, especially coming into flu season with the fall. And I think we can all identify with the stresses that we face in our work lives, especially with COVID-19 thrown in the mix. You don't have to be working at the hospital to feel this. And certainly, it's easy to think of Bible verses that relate directly to our daily stresses and anxieties, which encourage us to endure through these trials. And we will consider some of these later on. Now for the second endurance activity for me is cycling, which I'm still relatively new at, being blessed to be able to bike to work at the hospital. This has tested my endurance in many ways, in ways that I've never really appreciated before. Cycling being an endurance sport. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about cycling specifically for obvious reasons, and I'm not personally a fan of using analogies that the Bible itself doesn't use to explain spiritual concepts. But the Bible does talk a lot about other physical endurance activities to help us understand our life in Christ. And indeed, perhaps some of you can identify with my new application for this analogy, as there have been a surge of people focusing more on their own physical health and fitness during COVID-19, being at home, you know, with less to do. And even if this isn't the case for you, I'm sure that you can identify if you've had an experience of a day of trying physical labor that's required endurance. And this morning, I'd like to consider how the principles of physical endurance relate to the spiritual endurance that we are called to in our walk to the kingdom, with the overall aim of encouraging us to keep going during these trying times. So the Apostle Paul liked using the analogy of running a race to describe what life in Christ is like in the present age as we look forward to the kingdom. I think he must have actually had a background in endurance activities, and he certainly needed to be in good physical shape in order to do all of the traveling that he did on his missionary journeys. And here are some examples of physical endurance verses from his writings. So first, in his letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And then in another letter to the Philippian Ecclesia, he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ." And then finally, Paul writes in both of his letters to Timothy, incidentally, it's chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 in both of them. He says first in his first letter, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And then in his second letter, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Now, I've always read these verses with a sense of the point that they're trying to make. You know, in grade school, I played some sports and ran track for fun. But it wasn't until I really started, you know, training consistently or seriously for a sport and as an adult, making a lifestyle change, if you will, that these verses really took on a whole new meaning for me. And there's two key aspects of endurance that I'd like to highlight from these verses, which I think Paul is also trying to impress on us, that I have a greater appreciation for. And the first one is self-discipline, and the second one is persisting through failure. Now, Paul talks a great deal about disciplining his body, training, controlling himself, and not allowing himself to be distracted by silly things in pursuit of his goals. He also talks about forgetting what is behind and pressing onward, presumably in the face of failure, when one fails to discipline themselves properly, or perhaps they meet an insurmountable task. But he doesn't really offer much detail in terms of what he means by the self-discipline and forgetting what is behind in these specific verses. So I'd like to take a moment to do that right now. So firstly, self-discipline and persisting through failure are really psychological activities, which guide the physical activity that we are trying to complete or and or endure through. So first, self-discipline is required in order to succeed and to continue to improve. So what are some things that we need to be self-disciplined in? We need to control how often and intense you exercise or work. You need to make sure that you execute the unique movements of your sport or activity with good attention to form. You need to be careful about what and how much you eat in order to fuel yourself properly through your activity and afterwards while your body is healing and rebuilding itself, recovering from all that intense work. And you also have to make sure you get adequate sleep and rest enough to further aid in the recovery process and the rebuilding process. And if you fail to be consistent in all of these things every day, and then your performance drops and you struggle to meet your goals, and you just generally don't feel very good. And this naturally leads to the second aspect of endurance, which is persisting through failure. There are periods when you fail to maintain self-discipline and your performance suffers. You don't eat or sleep properly and you get tired and or sick and have to stop before reaching your goal. You might get lazy and don't pay proper attention to the correct form and end up hurting yourself. You stop pushing yourself to do better and you stop improving. And when you experience these moments of failure, it can be really hard to view them as just temporary setbacks. It's easy to become discouraged and want to give up completely, throw in the towel, and in so doing, discount all of the hard work that you've already done and the goals that you've already met and the changes that you've already made in yourself. Now, I imagine at this point you're starting to think about the spiritual parallels and applications that Paul is driving at. Life in Christ is similar to a physical endurance activity in many ways, except that it's spiritual in nature and occurs over a much longer period of time. A lifetime, in fact. And it can be hard to get an objective view on our spiritual walk in the same way that we can with physical activity. And this is because while we can usually control when we stop an activity or how long we do it for, there is no real break for reflection time in our spiritual walk in the same way. You don't get to choose when and how long you do life in Christ. You have to be doing it all the time and in everything. God says that in the Bible, you know, we are to meditate on the word day and night, for example. And we have to keep him and his ways at the forefront of our mind in all things. And we know how challenging this can be. So let's now discuss some of the parallels to our spiritual walk that you may already be thinking of, and maybe I'll add a few that you haven't been thinking of and try to match them up with the ones I've already presented. So first, in which areas do we need to exercise self-discipline spiritually? Well, like literal walking or running, you need to control the frequency and intensity that you work at. We need to work hard spiritually, but not too hard. We can experience spiritual burnout. We need to pay attention to good spiritual form. For example, we need to practice the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. We need to experience all these things in a measured way according to how God tells us to behave and not according to our own wants and desires. This leads directly to the next spiritual discipline, which is making sure that we have a healthy diet of God's word in our lives. This God's word will inform, guide, and fuel our spiritual activities. And finally, we need to regularly rest, reflect, and regroup. Rebuild the weakened spiritual muscle and come back with a stronger spiritual character. And certainly this morning, as we remember Jesus Christ, we are doing this. We are engaging in this resting and reflecting. And there are plenty of verses and examples in the Bible that support each of these parallels. But let's take creation for example. God was very careful and methodical in how he created the world. He didn't just do it all in one day, but he staged it over 6 days in a very prescribed form. He slowly formed and filled the earth with life. He also rested on the seventh day, and he even commanded his children to rest on the Sabbath day. And he also told the children of Israel that they were to talk about his word, the Bible, day and night with their children and consume a steady spiritual diet of his word. So the purpose of all this self-discipline and training is to prepare us to perform optimally through times of increased stress and trial. But what about those actual moments in which we are called to endure? When it comes to enduring specifically through periods of intense pain and suffering, well, there are three approaches that we can take. I'm going to use another analogy here. Think of the classic analogy of climbing a hill, one which I think we can also find biblical support for. So at the bottom of this towering obstacle that's before us, we have really three choices. Attack it, struggle up it, or be defeated by it. It really comes down to how we mentally approach the hill. After you have taken every step to ensure that you're physically able to endure and to make this climb, the mental game in the face of the problem is all that's left. So if you approach the problem with the mindset that you've already overcome it, then it helps to do so. If you approach the problem with the mindset that it will defeat you, or sorry, that it might defeat you rather, and you just have to survive up it, then you may or may not experience success. And then if you approach the problem thinking that there's no possibility of overcoming it, then you likely won't. In our reading in Luke 12 today, in verse 35, we're called to stay dressed for action and keep our lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes back and knocks. And we read, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. So we're called to be ready and eager in the face of challenges that this life throws at us as we await the Lord's return. And after we have done all that we can to train ourselves spiritually to endure, reading the word daily, taking the time for rest and reflection, being instant in prayer, we need to mentally face the day with fortitude and confidence. And I don't know about you, but I cannot say that I meet each day with this attitude. I often, and more often than I would like, find myself in struggle mode. And I think that could be said for a lot of us. And sometimes if struggle mode lasts long enough, then defeat mode can set in and failure. And this really leads to the need for our second spiritual parallel, which is persisting through spiritual failure. So we need to ask ourselves, when do I need to persist through spiritual failure? Well, this could be any time that we become aware that we have not been engaging regularly in the spiritual disciplines. Our eyes typically being opened to this following a spiritually painful event. We may realize that we've acted thoughtlessly or rashly, perhaps even in an ungodly way, and made decisions that had negative consequences for us and those whom we love. The key is not to overreact to our own spiritual failings, but to place them in the correct perspective. They simply reflect our fallen human nature rearing its ugly head, and they do not define us. Letting them define us would negate all of the hard spiritual work and character building that we've already experienced in our walk in Christ. We need to put our failures in the proper place and see past them in order to move forward and do better next time. But how do we do this? And when we fail so often and we're so consistently confronted with our failings? Well, we need to remember one very, very important point. Unlike physical exercise or activity, it does not rely on our own effort and willpower to endure. It primarily relies on the strength that God supplies. Romans calls Yahweh the God of endurance and encouragement. He is the one who will help us endure to the end for his own glory. Isaiah tells us in chapter 40, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I get really excited when I read these verses because of the physical strength that's promised. But if we look at the context of the verse, I think Isaiah is actually talking not so much about physical strength, but spiritual strength here. The whole chapter, if we were to read it, is all about the greatness of God and his power to accomplish his spiritual purposes, the redemption for the earth. Isaiah 40 begins with those well-known words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And in this chapter, between the first few verses at the beginning and those at the end that we read, God's physical power is demonstrated and explained. And examples of his power are given to show his spiritual power to forgive sins. And indeed, if you want encouragement in your walk to the kingdom, I'd highly recommend reading all of Isaiah chapter 40. It also tells us, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." So how is it that our great God encourages us to endure? Well, I'm going to put forward three ways. First, with the gift of repentance. Second, the gift of God's strength. And then third, God's enduring promise to us of the hope of the resurrection. So first, we're granted repentance through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we are given a perfect example of how to live, how to run the race. But it's also through Jesus that we can be forgiven when we fail and have a chance, have chance after chance to try again and improve our characters. By looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we are encouraged. Second, we have confidence and strength in the grace of God, that while we cannot make it to the end of our spiritual race on our own, he can and will give us the strength to do so. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, "He who has begun a good work in us will see it through to completion in the day of Christ." And third, not only does God have the power to help us to do better spiritually, he also promises us that he will do this. And he gives us a beautiful vision of his kingdom to look forward to, when we will ultimately be made perfect and sin no more and fail no more. And God always keeps his promises. A reading in Luke 12 speaks to the confidence that we can have in God's guiding hand. Verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, ye of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you have need of them. Instead, seek first his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. And so the focus here is on God providing for our physical needs as we endeavor to stay focused on our spiritual, on the spiritual things and the hope of his kingdom. And we have many examples in the scriptures of men who showed great spiritual endurance through God's encouragement, which are also meant to and to encourage us as we look to that kingdom. I'll just enumerate some of them for you. Consider Noah building a boat in the field. He had to endure hundreds of years of ridicule by his neighbors until the floods came when he was justified. And I'm sure that the pain of knowing their fate also weighed heavily on him for all those years. Consider Abraham waiting for a promise that seemed impossible. But in his old age, by his faith, God granted him and his beloved wife an heir as he looked forward to inheriting the earth in a city whose builder and maker is God. Consider Joseph, who endured the mistreatment of his brothers and slavery in Egypt, but received the encouragement of the dreams from God. He maintained his faith, and he was elevated from depths of despair to a seat beside Pharaoh. Consider Job, who had everything he owned, everyone he loved, and even his own health taken from him. And then he had to endure condemnation from his three friends. He too, however, persevered and was blessed with double that he had lost. And finally, consider David, who committed several very serious sins and made significant mistakes, but he did not let those sins define him. He repented and had faith in God's ability to forgive and impute righteousness to him. And he certainly did. And by reading and meditating on these men's examples, that which was written in former days, we receive instruction that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope from the God of endurance and encouragement. And this helps us to live in such harmony with one another and in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps the person who understood the pain of endurance, both physical and spiritual, the most was Jesus Christ, the greater Son of David, his heir and our Redeemer. We remember his sacrifice together today in the breaking of the bread and the wine. Unlike David and us, Jesus never experienced sin and its resultant failure personally. He was sinless. Like an ultramarathon runner at the front of the race, well ahead of the pack, he had flawless form and mental stamina, empowered by the Spirit of his Heavenly Father. In Jesus' approach to the cross, he didn't let himself be defeated. He approached it boldly, with the mindset that he had already overcome it. In his prayer in John 17, and it was a prayer for his disciples, current and future, Jesus said, "I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you." So this future focus. And following this prayer, he left with the disciples to the garden where he was betrayed. Despite his sinlessness, he still experienced the pain of human mortality and human limitation. Come with me over to Luke 22 and we'll read from verse 39. We read that Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So we see here Jesus' ability to endure through the mental agony of having to go to the cross, which was contrasted so well with the disciples' own physical inability to endure through his few hours of much needed prayer before his heavenly Father. We also see God sending an angel to strengthen and encourage him. Strength and encouragement that he used to endure through the physical pain of his final hours. Hours when his Father seemed so distant. We know from Hebrews that he endured this, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And we are presently in a night of endurance as we await Jesus' return. So let us now, as we share the bread and the wine, take this opportunity to consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In our struggle against sin, we have not resisted yet to the point of shedding our own blood. Consider the joy we have to look forward to, and that knowing that joy comes in the morning. We can endure until that day by the grace of our Heavenly Father, the God of endurance and encouragement. So do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised.